This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's trending?
What's trending brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive since 1942. Telly certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
We start with, it's a Red Friday, of course, in Kansas City. Chiefs, Raiders, Sunday, noon kick right here on 96.5 The Fan. We're going to hear from Andy Reid at 1 o'clock. We'll carry that even during Fan Club Friday. We're also expected to hear from Rashee Rice. It's been a while since he spoke. So Rice and Reid coming up at 1. We'll likely get confirmation that Josh Simmons is out for Sunday, although we could all use common sense. He's clearly not going to play on Sunday. He hasn't been with the team all week long. Other than that, they appear to be in pretty good shape from a health and availability standpoint for the Chiefs-Raiders game. A
lot of other injuries in the NFL, though. Man, Puka Nacua's out.
Yes.
Terry McLaurin's not expected to play or is doubtful. Garrett Wilson is doubtful for the game. So a lot of other injuries just kind of floating around the league. Next up on What's Trending, according to reports, John Heyman says Tarek Skubal and the Detroit Tigers are reportedly $250 million apart on an expected extension. He's a free agent after the 2026 season. Remember, they don't have any franchise tag stuff in baseball. You can just ride out your deal if you want to. Skubal and them reportedly $250 million off. Sheesh. I would guess it's like they want to pay him $450 and he wants $700 million. You know this ends up. Congratulations, Tarek Skubal, for being a Met, Dodger, or Yankee.
Yep, that's where it's trending. Sure seems like it. Definitely does. Elsewhere, what's trending? The Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer just announced in the last like 15 minutes or so that Trayvon Diggs, one of the better corners for them, had an accident at his home last night.
Oh.
And he has a concussion, and now he won't play Sunday as the Commanders and Cowboys square off.
Just that's interesting. Line was just a point and a half this morning.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that.
One of those bizarre, you know, baseball type injuries.
Yeah.
He's a football player. Who knows? He fell and hit his head or something? What the heck?
I mean, he got a concussion. I don't know. I mean,
what?
Yeah.
You're not playing. Wild.
Not playing
Sunday.
One way or the other, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Next up on What's Trending, local college football. Kansas State and Kansas both off. They'll take each other on next weekend for the Sunflower Showdown. Missouri will head to Auburn and head on the road to try to get them back on track after their loss to Alabama next week.
First road test. Yeah, first road test for the Tigers, the Missouri Tigers, that is.
Auburn's in weird shape.
Yeah, Drew was telling us before the show, they got some weird stuff going on off the field this week down at Auburn. So we'll see. I think Auburn was at last check a 1.5-point dog. I haven't seen this morning, but I think they were 1.5-point underdogs against Missouri. Lastly, on What's Trending, you mentioned Skubal, but how about just the rest of the AL and NLCS? Dodgers up 3-0, so they're a win away from clinching another trip to the World Series. Mariners, Tigers, not at 2 games apiece. So how about after the Mariners got it done in Toronto, it was the Blue Jays getting it done in Seattle for a couple. So that one feels like it's going the distance. I think we're going to get to a 7-game series when it's all said and done. Dodgers, meanwhile, they might wrap this thing up quickly.
Dodgers is going to win the World Series again. It just feels.
I was hoping for, Mizorowski pitched well yesterday, at least initially, and then Dodgers just really good.
They have too much talent, man. They've got way more talent than every other team in baseball. That's all it comes down to.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We'll get to some golden locks presented by Circa Sports, including not only a couple bets I like, but we've been checking in on our Circa Million entry. We got a bunch of guys from the station, including Cody and myself and Dusty, Rob, Bink, Speck, all putting in our picks. Last week wasn't our best week by any means. We stepped back a little bit from being in the top 100. We're now in the top 300.
We're 282?
Yeah, we're tied for 282nd.
Top 5%? So
we'll talk more about that. Yeah, we'll get to that. Also, don't forget, 1 hour from now, Fan Club Friday, Mackenzie Nelson from 41 going to join us. And we've got the Gold Rush cocktail from Shane Rieger. I like that one already. I already like it.
Yeah, it's got your name in it, you know?
Must be good, you know? Must be a great cocktail, if I say so myself. All right. You said to me earlier today, and I get it because the games were once like everything to Chiefs fans. Now Super Bowls are everything. The Chiefs-Raiders rivalry week, you said it just doesn't have the buzz for you anymore.
It's dying a little bit more every year. Even in the year where they beat him on Christmas. I pointed out they won the Super Bowl that year. So what the hell do I care if they beat him on Christmas? They won the Super Bowl in the same season. I think this will only get worse. Because for a rivalry to continue to live, it has to be passed on to the next generation. So I've seen a lot of people in the text line said, no, we still hate the Raiders. I heard Dana Hughes. You talk about it. I grew up thinking they're trash.
Yeah, I still hate the Raiders. Yeah, they are trash.
So like there's part of you that I know it will always live inside of you for some way. But like your nephews, for instance. The hell are they going to hate the Raiders for?
Right.
They nothing the Raiders. They might hate the Eagles.
Yeah.
Or the Ravens. Or the Bills. Or hell, even the Chargers or Broncos have got a little juice with them lately. When's the last time the Raiders were a real threat to the Chiefs in any way? And the other part of this rivalry that's dying is, well, at the very least, at least you got to go there and Flowers could stand there and get flipped off by the entire crowd.
There's no black hole anymore.
There are more Chiefs fans at the Raiders games than the Raiders games.
That's the strongest argument.
I mean, it's just like there's no the juice in it. It's just dying a little every year. I'm not saying it's nothing yet. There's still a little bit of fire there, but it's just like slowly creeping away to like, it's just a regular season game. It's division. But it's like, I feel that way about the Chargers, who I nothinged for a very long time in that regard.
Yeah, this doesn't feel like a big game on Sunday when you have the Bills on the schedule in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
When you got a Monday night football game against Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, and you're like, why is that a rivalry? It's not a rivalry, but I'm more amped for that game. But of course, I can't stand the Raiders. Anybody that grew up in Kansas City and has lived here for a while, everybody hates the Raiders in town. There's something about even just looking at the color of their uniforms. I'm like,
good bad guy colors.
It is totally. If you were to do a random football movie, those would be some of the colors you would pick of the bad guys. All right,
I'll give you that.
It's like in your before the black hole. That was an unbelievable place to go. And yeah, the Brandon Flowers photos, an all timer with all the Raiders fans. They were throwing batteries at the helmets of Chiefs players, like that all added to
it. That's a distant memory.
And that's not, that was early 2000s, late 90s kind of stuff. And that doesn't exist. I do think your point about the home field advantage is a very strong argument. And it's true. We've gone out there for Chiefs Raiders week and it's full of Chiefs fans. Anytime you go to a Raiders game, if they're playing the Steelers, it's full of Steelers fans. They're playing the Seahawks, there'll be a bunch of Seahawks fans there. I mean, that's just, they don't have a true home field advantage anymore. And it's just changed. And I would argue even when you go to a Chiefs game like this Sunday, you're going to go out to Arrowhead. I bet you see less Raiders fans at the game than you used to. I'm telling you, it felt like when I was a kid at Arrowhead, there were Raiders fans, quite a bit of them all over the place. And I don't feel like you see that anymore.
I if you view it and you look at it, you have to consider the fact that that was part of it. Gold, that if you a Chiefs fan were like, no, you would have feared for your life.
Oh, I never would have gone to a game in Oakland, Cody. No.
Yeah.
There's certain places you can't go. Like,
even if the Chiefs had won all these Super Bowls, you wouldn't have dared put on a Patrick Mahomes jersey and rolled into
you
Oakland
couldn't,
to
Cody,
watch a
you
game.
Couldn't. There, honestly, you really couldn't.
Yeah.
It'd be a dumb decision, not smart. There's very few places like that left. And I'm not like some people like, oh, why is that a bad thing? But we're talking it from a rivalry perspective.
But at the very least, wonder how it's going to go. Like, I think you can safely walk in with an opposing team's jersey into Arrowhead Stadium, but you're going to get teased.
Oh, well, sure.
And mocked and ridiculed. You walk into the Raiders Stadium with a Chiefs jersey. Nobody even says anything to you like, hi, nice to see you, sir. Can I show you to your seats with many other Chiefs fans?
Because they're all transplants in Vegas now.
Yeah. And so unless they got really good for a stretch, it's hard to imagine. Right now, they're the worst team in the division, and they are so far from figuring out their quarterback situation compared to it. Like right now, the Chargers are going to have the same starting quarterback for the next decade. I think the Denver Broncos are probably going to have the same starting quarterback for the next decade. They got the same guy, and Patrick Mahomes, obviously, one of the best in the league. Everyone's kind of stable, secure, knows what they're doing, comfortable where they're at. Raiders are just a lost child.
And how long is Pete Carroll going to be there?
I don't know.
I mean, he's not
mid-70s.
Yeah, he's not, 40 years old, so It's weird. I still love to see the Raiders suck, and I hope the Chiefs kick their ass on Sunday and all that. Like, that's still stuff I enjoy more than beating somebody else. Like, you know, there's more implications to beating the Colts later in the year for playoff reasons, but like, I will take more enjoyment out of beating the Raiders on Sunday
than the Chargers or Broncos. Let me rank it in.
Yeah,
your,
now
who are the teams above your enjoyment of beating? Philly's ahead of it. Cincy's ahead of it.
Yeah.
Bills and Ravens are ahead of it.
For sure.
Ravens are in a weird year. Yeah. But generally speaking, they're on the list.
Yeah.
Chargers?
The Broncos? The Broncos for many years were obviously dominating the division. So the Broncos surpassed the Raiders for a lot of people, I think. For the Chargers, I just, yeah, whatever. Like, I don't.
It's
I don't,
still, they, yeah, it, you're right. There isn't a lot of. I will give you that. It's like if you added in the hatred, it's like the Chargers are like, oh, that's nice. Have a nice time. Like, I don't feel
same
any
thing
like,
with their stadium. Same thing there. Denver and Kansas City are the only two in the division real atmospheres. You go to like Broncos fans, like that's a hell of an atmosphere in Denver. You go to Mile High or whatever the hell they call it.
You
now,
feel it.
You understand their fan base. Whereas you go to LA or Vegas, you're gonna have more road fans or at least a good amount of road fans there. So yeah, man, I'm excited for Sunday. Just you know, it's not 2002. Thank goodness anymore.
Yeah, you didn't trade Rich Gannon to go win MVP, and you already hated him anyway.
Bill Romanowski, the guy that we tried to get on the show that ditched you. Actually, I would
didn't
say.
Didn't want the smoke.
Yeah, you threatened to fight him, and he said no. He's afraid of Cody Tapp to this day.
Yeah. Still ducking me.
To this day. Drew tried to arrange a real fight.
He get his problems with the IRS figured out?
I don't know.
It was the fact
I'm
that
I guess
we thought,
that's still an ongoing matter.
It's the fact that he agreed to come on the show, but he wasn't at Radio Row at the Super Bowl, which he, according to you guys, he's always there. It seems
he always
like,
is. So, yeah, him and his wife like usually are promoting some random supplement.
Yeah, so the fact that he wasn't there, it was like, you know, I'm able to. Is this going to be? This is going to be over the phone, right? It's like, oh no,
Bill, no. We're looking to get you in person. I mean, didn't it say he owed like $15 million to the
IRS?
Yeah,
judge ruled that he did. Yep.
Woo!
Yep. We're paying that for a while.
I don't think he's got it. I don't want to say for sure, but
maybe he should fight you for money. Offer up a prize.
Who's going to offer?
He'll take you up on that.
$15.5 million prize.
2026 on Netflix. Cody Tapp and Bill Romanowski.
It'd be the funniest thing to promote on Netflix where you'd be like, wait, that guy who probably played linebacker that they barely remember. And then they're like, I definitely don't know whoever the hell that other guy is. Who? A local sports talk radio host from Kansas City. Why are we televising this? Here's the question.
This feels like one of the, what does Barstool do? They do like Rough and Rowdy or whatever. Yeah. That's what it feels like this would be on.
Serious question.
Because wasn't it the Rocker and Mahomes' dad were trying to fight on there at one point. Remember that whole thing?
If, let's just say, in a world where they put this fight on Netflix, me and Bill Romanowski, and they promote it the way they promoted that Jake Paul fight. So like, it's just, every ad you see is this fight. How many people do you think they get to tune into that fight? Honestly, at some point, it would become a national story on some of those sites like Barstool because they'd be
100,000 people.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And that'd be a flop for them, but that for you, it'd be great. And I would say.
And you'd be one of the 100,000.
Of course. And you would get your ass kicked as well. You would get your. Unless he just doesn't show up, which is a possibility.
Or his knee gives out or something.
Oh, you're hoping that just.
Father Time, you know?
By the way, is there any drug testing? Because you're screwed if that's the case.
Oh, I'm
because he's going to roid out like no other.
Well, I might too. Honestly, if I had to get in his ring, he might be the only one on steroids. There might be two of us.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty epic.
That's it, yeah. Cody and I, once we discussed, but legal didn't clear it. We were going to do a charity boxing match, like up on the up and up. We're going to have the headgear on and everything to keep it safe. We had a conversation with our boss.
We were comfortable with it.
It went up the food chain 2 years ago to the corporate lawyers, and they very quickly said, "You're out of your damn mind."
Yeah, they said no.
But we were going to raise a lot of money for charity. I'm convinced. A ton of money.
I think we would have too.
It would have been a lot of. We were going to have a concert before, after the fight. Like, we were going to have a band there. It was going to be a whole thing.
We were talking about a Nick Harrington undercard.
Yeah. And we would have had, like, I said I wanted Sean Barber in my corner to walk out with me. It would have been a great thing. Drew, you would have had to pick a side. It would have been great. Never going to happen, guys. Never going to happen.
No.
Could you imagine we were going to partner up with a boxing club in town and for 6 months try to train and get in the best shape of our lives?
That would be the fun part, is to see the transformation. You guys would have to take like photos in your boxing gear as if you were like fighting and see the transformation over the course of that 6 months.
The other part of it is it was part of the deal was that we were both going to train to box.
For real.
Like we were going to spend 6 to 8 months like training to actually
that
box.
Fascinating.
Each other. What's funny? They got no tape on you. What are they going to know what you're going to do? What's Alex going to throw?
I got the reach advantage, yeah. But I don't know.
I got the reach.
Well, I don't know. That would have been funny. Never going to happen, unfortunately.
So, well,
let's get to some,
maybe next time, you know?
Let's get to some golden locks.
Just because you love something doesn't mean you're good at it. But Alex Gold and betting on sports?
Pretty, pretty, pretty good.
It's time for Golden Locks.
Golden Locks presented by Circus Sports. Sports betting the way it should be, coming soon to Missouri with Circus Sports. December 1st, of course. Last night, Cincy got us the cover. We talked about that betting show, which airs Wednesdays from 6 to 7. So I still thought the Steelers would win that game, but we did have Cincy plus the 5.5 points. Before we get to a couple games I like, Circa Million, there's a lot of us at the station that are in on an entry out at Vegas. It's a big, big worldwide contest. We put in 5 picks every single week. We told you we were on a hot streak. We were like, what, 15-2 or 16-2 leading into last week. Last week it came to an end. We were 2-3 last week. Yeah, big bummer.
A couple of close ones.
We're still in the top 300 out of 5,800, which is, we're on track. We're all right. This week, I think we got a problem, though, with how we're going to determine picks. I mean, we'll figure this out eventually, but we got people on opposite sides of bets. Nobody's going to be with me on mine, so we won't be able to use it. I like the Jets to get their first one of the season. They're 1.5-point underdogs to Carolina. I think the Jets can slow down Rico Dowdle a little bit, make Bryce Young beat them. And I think the Jets, who were so abysmal on offense against the Broncos, they still only lost by 2 points. Their defense is the real deal. So I think the Jets can get their first win. I like them plus 1.5. And then I noticed Dusty put in his pick, and so did Rob, and they're both on Carolina 1.5. So there's no way we're going to use my Jets pick. I'm guessing I won't be able to convince you.
Garrett Wilson, you might be shifting on that anyway. That was a tough one for me.
He's doubtful.
I think the Jets' first win comes next week against Cincinnati.
And then I like Seattle. It's my favorite bet of the weekend. Seattle -3. It's Monday night or one of the Monday night games. They are taking on the Texans. And I think on the sheet that we entered, there's two other people between the six of us that entered Seattle. So I think Seattle -3 will be one of our picks.
I think so.
It looks like Dusty and maybe you as well and Bink all put in New England -7.
Yeah.
Vrabel's old team, the Tennessee Titans. I think that's the thought process for a lot of people.
I guess everybody trying to figure out whether or not they're going to have the, like, interim bump, which certainly does occur. I just think that they're wildly out talented in that, and New England's going to try desperately to hold on to that top spot in the AFC East for at least 1 week and not relinquish it. I think that they're more hungry than we'd like to admit on that end. I will say the two that, and I don't, again, this is how it works, we don't just get our own personal selections. I feel like we're on too many favorites this week.
Yeah, well,
and the trend, a lot of favorites as a group.
Bad side to be on this year for the most part. If they're not only favorites, but if the public is on them. So if 60% or more of the tickets are on a side this year, you want to run in the opposite direction. Last week's, the tickets that had 60% or more of the bets went 2-6 against the spread. Or something like that. The week before, it was like 2-3. The week before that, it's been awful. Usually, you want to fade what is considered the public plays so far this year. And I'm nervous that everybody's going to be on New England -7, Cody.
That's fair.
And I don't know if I like it.
So I think we had too many people on it. So it just kind of is what it is there. Even if I changed it, we're probably still doing
true.
It. Here's the two that I like that are opposite of those that I like some underdogs in. One is the Giants +7 against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
They just had a 2-point game against the Jets. They didn't cover. They won against Philly, but that was a 4-point game. They were an underdog, admittedly. The only two teams they've really covered that line against are Cincinnati, and that was with it was still Jake Browning, and Tennessee in week one. While the Giants are not a good football team, I do not think they are that bad, and I think the Giants can cause some problems for the Broncos offense. I think it's another low-scoring one. I think it's another 20-17, 17-14. I'm not saying the Broncos can't win, but I like the Giants +7. I also like the Bucks +5.5.
Yeah, that's where we differ on that one.
Yeah, I know we're not on the same one there. The Bucks have an argument for best team in football. Mm-hmm. How often am I getting 5.5 points
I know.
For a team I think might be the best team in football? Obviously, the Lions need to bounce back after the Chiefs thing, but they still seem like Branch and everybody are still in their head about the refs last week. Maybe it's just the fan base.
Yeah.
And they've been putting up a fight against
no Agbuka. So. Looks like they might get Mike Evans back, but still no Bucky Irving. And then the last one for me, and nobody's going to want this one, so I doubt we'll get to use it. I like the Chargers -1.5. It's weird. They're favorites, so it's not an underdog pick, but I feel like I'm picking an underdog in this game, even though they're 1.5-point favorites against the Colts.
I think the Chargers get it done. And Charvarius Ward and one other player just got ruled out for them. So that one only got better.
There's a chance Quinn Johnson's back. There's a chance Joe Alt is back. Healy's was limited in practice. So we'll see. Those are a couple golden locks. Hopefully a much better week than last week for our Circa Millions.
I still think top 5% is pretty respectable.
Yeah,
282nd out of 5,800 people is not like we're doing horrible.
Someone says, doesn't Reese in your show, you should be on the Raiders. Yeah, we're not picking the Raiders Chiefs game from our contest. I would lean in your direction that, yes, historically, the Raiders as 11-point dogs against the Chiefs have been profitable, if that's what you're wondering. Yeah. But not going to be one of our picks. I don't want to bet on a game that has 11-point spread like that, quite honestly, for our contest.
Who does Houston have this week?
Seattle. That's why I like Seattle minus 3.
Just like that game's, it's the minus.
Seahawks are still undervalued.
You do realize that the Texans have the number one defense in the league, though, right? That's the only thing.
Yeah, but CJ Stroud on that offense stink.
Yeah, and I guess they haven't really played. But they held the Bucs to 20.
Yep.
The Jags to 17. The Ravens to 10. The Titans
Seattle
to 0.
Seattle is good. People are underrated.
The Rams to 14. Yeah. This is what the Texans have done. They're holding everybody down. Rams, good offense. Jags, pretty good offense. Bucs, really, really good offense. And I don't know where that was. Week 3, that was when they still had at least some of their players healthy. But or week 2, they still had Bucky Irving and some others. So, I don't know. It's just, I don't hate the Seattle pick. I just worry to get the 3 to cover it, they're going to have to win 20-14 or 17-10 against Texas.
Okay.
Against the Texans. I'm not saying they can't.
Sam Darnold's been awesome.
I don't think they're going to, that's all. I just think they're going to have to cover it low.
So, we'll see what our final 5 picks are. As it takes 6 of us to agree on the 5 picks.
Yep.
It's not just our call.
We figured it out
for those. Don't forget, coming up in about 40 minutes, it is a Fan Club Friday. Mackenzie Nelson going to join us from 41. We'll talk some Chiefs football. We're going to hear from Andy Reid and Rashee Rice at 1 o'clock, so you don't want to miss that right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.
It'd be good to have Mackenzie in. She actually showed my students around KSHB.
Oh, you did a tour of their station.
I did a tour of their station, similar to as I did
so
a tour of
their
station.
So you're having other people teach. You're having other people teach.
I don't know if that's what I would call it.
That's 3 weeks in a row, you know?
I was exposing them. We just started our television performance part, and I was exposing them to the life of television. So they got to speak to multiple people who work on the on-air side, including like Kevin Holmes and some other people over at 41 who were very nice to talk.
Did they enjoy it?
To them. They seemed to. They asked a lot of questions, which is good. And I had to threat. I always had to
You said you had a threat. You're about to say I had to thread my students. That's what you're about to say. You're about to say that.
In order to make sure that you like make sure they have questions, sometimes you got to be like, hey, I'm going to give points or something. You know, like you got to have stuff. People don't come prepared otherwise.
So you're just lying to your students. Okay.
I gave them points.
Gotcha.
All but one showed up. Pretty good.
That's
pretty
not good smart on that kid.
Oh, to be the only person who didn't show up.
Yeah, not smart. Better have a good excuse.
They didn't say anything, so. Hard to say.
Hmm.
They were absent. Everyone else was there. We had fun. They got to watch the live 6 o'clock news. You know? They got to see it for real. Also, I learned that KSHB has voice-activated teleprompters, which I thought were fancy.
So it knows the pace, it knows your pace automatically?
As you start reading the words, it recognizes the words you read and just starts
moving. Moves off of that. That's awesome. That's great.
I was like, that's pretty fancy.
Yeah, it is.
No clicker, no personal
dial. Yeah, you don't have someone manually doing it.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
So learned all kinds of stuff on our tour yesterday. So I'll have to thank Mackenzie later at 1 o'clock for showing the kids around. She seemed to enjoy it. I told her I think she'd like teaching. She said she comes from a long line of teachers and she would not.
Yeah, I could see that.
So
I could see that. But she said she would not.
Mm-hmm,
oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Would you like teaching?
Not right. Not now. My point, like not now, like in this part of
but
my life.
In a hypothetical.
Yeah.
Drew, would you like teaching
at some point?
Probably not. And that doesn't mean that I wouldn't do it, but I don't enjoy like teaching people new things. I just don't think I would. It would be the grading part of it. I don't
like
think
the work of grading, or you don't want to give someone a bad grade?
Both.
Okay.
The work of grading is the worst part of the two. Get a bad grade, you get a bad grade.
I think you would give everybody great grades based off of how we talk about.
I think everybody
how we talk about Cincinnati. I feel like you would never. You'd feel bad to tell anybody that you're just not good at something.
Even just life in general. Everybody, I think every one of my students, no matter what I taught, would love me because. And I really mailed that in, but Drew still gave me a C+, so we're good.
I really mailed that in.
That's what it would be.
All right. Up next, let's take a look at some defensive trends for the Chiefs. A couple are concerning. And the random question of the day right here on 96.5.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The fan.
Random question of the day about 10 minutes away. Here on Cody and Gold, a half hour away from a Fan Club Friday presented by Jay Rieger & Co. We're drinking the Gold Rush Bourbon Cocktail today. Looking forward to that. Going to hear from Andy Reid and Rashee Rice coming up in the 1 o'clock hour as well. So we've talked about all the positives and where the offense is trending right now. Yeah. You know, they rank third in points per drive, fourth in EPA play per drive, first in average time of drive. And then you look at defense, and by no means is it the worst or anything like that. No. I still feel pretty good about this defense. There's a couple of categories that stand out more than others. One, average time per drive allowed. 30th in the NFL. We saw that on Sunday Night Football. The Lions opening drive, what, 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, they drag them out.
Resulted in three, but we all know it was very close to being a touchdown on that particular drive. And I think that is leading to some of the concern of wearing down late. Now, they closed the deal against the Lions. They didn't look worn out, but the week before, the conversation was about maybe Chris Jones was getting a little worn out. Maybe it's also an early season thing, and they will all build up a little bit more as the season goes on. But that one was concerning, just average time per drive. Opponents are having long, sustained drive keeping. Patrick Mahomes and this electric offense off the field. The other one is similar around plays per drive allowed, 26th. So teams are having a bunch of long, sustained drives against them.
So part of this is what we all thought was hopefully going to be the case this season anyway, Gold. You might remember our preseason conversations where we said this, for the first time in a long time, needed to be an offense or a team led by their offense, not led by their defense like it had been the previous 2 years that got them to Super Bowls, right? Certainly won one, lost one. The last 3 years, I would say, on aggregate, the better unit has been the defense, which is weird for a Patrick Mahomes-led team, although I would say 3 years ago is pretty much more even. I have some, I'm not 100% sold yet on the defense, yet at the same, as in like, they're as good as last year. But at the same time, I think their floor is really high. So what I'm trying to balance in is if the offense comes out this Sunday and over the next month and does some of the things we think they're capable of doing, like scoring 30 points a game like they're doing since Xavier Worthy came back, or score 35 points a game because Rice comes into the mix, then I'm going to have a lot more favorable variance with the defense. For one reason, I think teams are going to be more aggressive against them, which means more fourth down stops, more third down. Like, they're going to take more chances. They're going to take bigger swings. It's going to add into those problems. I think the issue all comes down mostly to the pass rush. And they're not even the worst team in the league at that. You know, they're 14th in the NFL in sacks. They are, to this point, league average. Now, league average, all you have to do is have two less sacks.
I would say it swings quite a bit.
Yeah. Have two less sacks and your bottom 10. Have two more sacks or three more sacks and your top 10. Their problem is that they're more in a wash. They're closer to being near the bottom of the league than the top. They're 14th at 14 sacks. The Cincinnati Bengals and the Dallas Cowboys are bottom 10 and they have 11. So, you know, like there's not, it doesn't take much to say what puts you near the bottom of the NFL versus the top end teams. The Denver Broncos, the number one by a bullet, by a mile. They have 30 sacks this season. The next closest team is 8 sacks short. Has more than double what the Chiefs have on paper. I just wonder whether or not there's parts of me that's like, it seems like it's a little too easy for teams to move the ball against Kansas City still.
A lot of
and
that.
So I don't think they're as good as last year.
Yeah, right now they're not. You know, do they? Charles Manniu is still their best in-house option. I've said it multiple times. I think if there was any in-house option that can lead to a better pass rush, it's Charles Manniu. I still think the secondary is going to continue to get better. Jalen Watson, Noel Williams in particular, is going to get better. Jaden Hicks is not on the field as much as any of us thought he would be this season. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, but a lot of it is, you know, kind of what they're getting for some other pieces right now. I think the secondary is more likely to improve as the season goes on. The pass rush is really one person. It's whether or not a Minnehue figures it out, because I don't. Mike Dana can't stay healthy right now, unfortunately. Derek Nottis is not a sack guy anyway, and then we all know grade-wise, he's not grading out well and run stuffing.
I mean, he's the only person who can just, or Chris Jones, who can improve the sack numbers.
Sure, and well, but the problem is teams are going to continue to play Chris Jones the way they are, so I don't know if it's going to lead, I don't know if he's going to get the double-digit sacks or not. Charles Minnehue, I've seen 6 or 8 game spurts.
Usually later in the season.
Where he's really freaking good. So that's what I'm holding out hope for. Unless you think they're going to go trade for somebody, that is the only way I think we're going to be say, wow, you know what? Now they're getting pressure with the front four.
What do you think they are? So, like, this is what's been so tough to read about the Chiefs' defense is. If you'd ask me after week one, I'd say, oh, they got real problems. And then the next 3 weeks, I'm like, damn, it's one of the better defenses in football. Look at them dominating their competition left and right. And we thought, well, maybe they're, maybe they're on to something. And then they had trouble against the Jags. Had not really trouble against the Lions. The Lions moved the ball.
Best offense in football, gave up 17.
Yeah, but they held them to half of their season average. Going into the game, the Lions were averaging 34 points a game. Held them to 17. I can't get a good read on them, what it is defensively. They're inconsistent. They don't look as overly talented as some previous years. I do think they have a really good secondary. And I think they got a really good mix of linebackers. So I like things that they're doing. And some of this might just be playing time. That is, Omar Norman Lott and Ashton Gelati are allowed to be on the field more after November 15th or whatever the Chiefs' typical invisible line is for playing rookies more time in the field. We might see a shift in there. I just don't think they're going to end up being I think they're going to end up being like the 10th or 11th or 12th best offense. And that's fine.
Yeah, Norman,
if the offense is what it is.
Norman Lott, to me, needs to play more. But you said it right there at the end about, let's say they end up as like 10th or whatever. If the offense is top 3 again, or top 5, I think top 3 is realistic, but let's just say top 5 for the sake of the conversation, and your defense is 12th, oh yeah, that's plenty good enough to win a Super Bowl. Plenty good enough to get to a Super Bowl. 5th best offense, 12th best defense. 3rd best offense, you know, whatever. 10th best defense, whatever the combination needs to be. Good enough? Absolutely.
That goes back to I mentioned it earlier with him, the DVOA stats, like the Chiefs offense and defense. So, like, you can talk about yards per drive and all this other stuff. They're top 10 in both. And just historically, we've mentioned that stat before. It is an efficiency metric based on, like, the quality of team. The reason why we've mentioned it before is it is a very good predictor of what are serious playoff and Super Bowl contending teams. You traditionally have to be top 15 in both. And really, if you want to be like, we're winning the Super Bowl this year or have a great chance to win the Super Bowl this year, top 10 in both. Guess what they are, Gold? Top 10 in both. They've not been top 10 in offense in a few years. So they've been outliving this metric a little bit in some ways where they've been having to, on the outside, play. But you know why it happens? Is in the playoffs, they're not the 13th best DVOA offense. In the playoffs, they're the number one or two offense.
Yeah, they find another gear.
That's what it is. They overcome and they put it into fifth and they just move on to their next stage. That's why that metric hasn't held them back. The scary part for other teams, and should be for this, is if they end up being a top offense the entire time, and then you get them in the playoffs, and they get 4 downs and Patrick Mahomes' legs and everything else that come with a playoff performance, I don't know. At this point, I'm starting to think if they were the... I might lock in the 10th best defense if you told me that that's what they were. Yeah, well, I might just take it. Would you?
They're the Super Bowl favorites for a reason. I mean, people believe where they're trending. You know, where they're trending offensively and the defense still being good enough and more, maybe even more than that by the end of the year.
Would you lock in the 10th? 10th best defense?
Yes.
Right now, they'll just tell you.
Yes.
The end of the season, they're, you know, like by whatever metric you want to measure, mm-hmm. they're roughly the 10th best defense in the NFL.
I would.
Points per game, DVOA, whatever.
Yeah, I would.
I would too. It's a lot of it goes back to the confidence in the offense. I am beyond intrigued to see what Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, and Xavier Worthy do on a football field together. I wish it also had their starting left tackle, who was not spotted, by the way, at the early portion
no
of
surprise.
Viewable practice.
Yeah, no surprise.
Nobody
there.
Thought he was going to play this weekend. At least I didn't, and I don't think anybody mm-hmm. else did. But so that part of it, very much, should be the most exciting thing about this thing on Sundays. What do they all look like together? What is most of the offense? Everybody but the left tackle is healthy. Your tight end is healthy and playing better than last year. All 3, 5, 6, 7 wide receivers are good. The rest of your offensive line, Patrick Mahomes, it's all in place except left tackle. That's pretty good. 10 out of 11 spots. Most teams would probably take that.
Yeah, they are still the healthiest team in football. They just are. And I know that scares people when we say it, but usually the Chiefs, you're like, just get me to the bye week. Got to get some guys mm-hmm. healthy. To this point in time, they're very, very healthy. And at the end of the year, that's the key. And the Chiefs have been able to always kind of get to that spot. But if you look around the NFL, there's a lot of teams in the AFC that are dealing with some significant injuries. And so it's an opportunity here for the Chiefs to take advantage of that.
And we'll see whether they do or not. But yes, you're right. It does definitely play in there. For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, the random question today is brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. Always hit us up. YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We interact over there. Big group text between the two feeds over there. If you're interested, show's on video every day. All the shows are on video.
Where's your red, man?
Exclusive content.
Red? It's red right Friday. Here. Okay.
There's some red.
KC Beer Coach shirt.
There's some red. Look, red.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I just put on a shirt and live my life.
Okay.
I got to wear red on a Friday no matter what.
I tried to. Drew is wearing some tie-dye thing or whatever. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
You're seeing Cody's DeLulu if he thinks that
that's
a proper
totally DeLulu.
Red Friday apparel.
That's true. There's a tiny bit of red, but mm-hmm. if you want to see me, I guess not wear red, but Gold wear his chief shirt, that is available over on YouTube and Twitch. The question I have today is whether or not Jordan Hudson is out of line in a production meeting. Now, I'm going to explain the background. Pablo Torre, who has just been making some people's lives a living hell by digging up all the dirt on them and finding constantly, was sent a leaked video of Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson on a hot mic discussing a television segment.
Not the hot mic.
In which he was going to be a part of. Now, look, he seemingly gets any he wants. The beginning or the end part of it is really interesting because it's mostly just the two of them absolutely eviscerating, making fun of other people in the room or other people they just don't like. And so, like, that part becomes very clear that they like a little hot goss between the two of them and to, you know, like, kind of S on people a little bit. But she is sitting, I want to set up the scene. Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson are sitting in a production meeting with NFL Films. We respect them as videographers.
No doubt.
I assume.
No doubt.
You will hear her give some advice in the direction of the creativity of the show, including a suggestion of using Photoshop. If you will, please go. Please play this, and we'll see if she's out of line.
You want to create editable templates that Matt can just plug numbers into?
Well, we'll get somebody else to do it.
We could use Adobe Photoshop, and honestly, this is something I've done before with what you're calling a template. Okay, so Adobe Photoshop, and we have last week's thing, and then you literally just go back and say, oh, rather than Joe Montana, you just go click, 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 click on the delete button, and then type in a new name. It's already formatted. It's already this, and you just upload it. You take a screenshot of that screen and then just upload it, and it takes literally like 3 minutes to do it. I mean, I was able to build out his, entire website with animations, with all of these things. I have zero, real graphic experience, and he's a live website with all of these things on it. It was just a matter of, pressing some things around. It's like, oh, well, if
and
we don't like that, we'll
just... info. Yep. By
right.
All means.
So couldn't we, it's pretty elementary, do something.
Is she out of line for trying to help NFL films with their creative process.
I mean, out of line. I mean, I just think it's just, I just roll my eyes at the
okay,
whole thing.
So
like, the, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's just, what a disaster. The whole thing's just a disaster. That's
Cody,
all.
The way that it's been situation. Reported is, I think she comes across, according to the report, without hearing any audio, it's like, man, she's saying it very ignorantly. I don't think she's actually being ignorant in here really at all. I do think there is a little bit of, she thinks she's giving advice that they don't already know. I think that's where it's not.
She called it Adobe Photoshop.
It's not.
Nobody calls it Adobe Photoshop. They just say Photoshop.
And that's just being nitpicky though. And like, just basically like trashing a person that people aren't a fan of.
Yeah, I think it's not to be rude to her, but I know, because I think I've been in a situation like this as well, where I've been on her side of things, where I'm suggesting something and I think that I'm genuinely helping, but the person who I'm talking to already knows all of the, like, she's giving advice to somebody who is already very well versed in Photoshop and even more programs that she probably doesn't even know.
There's two things I want to point out. One is in the video, and if you're watching in the video, you should be seeing this. The guy from NFL Films is fighting it. He's like standing over a chair, and he looks like that Popeyes employee after they released that chicken sandwich. He looks so tired of this conversation, man. He can't do it. Also, have you been to Bill Belichick's website? I would not be bragging about the work done over there. It looks like someone just went to Giphy and uploaded a bunch of poorly edited quality videos.
It
shows.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this speaks to the dynamic of the two of them, where she clearly is the person in charge of anything Bill is going to do creatively, and that is probably making things super awkward at UNC and in these meetings with NFL Films or these meetings with Hulu. All this stuff. Man, he just seems lost in it. That's
I think you're right. It's more so, somebody texted, it's not even the Adobe Photoshop as much as it is what you call a template. And she said template like it was a foreign language. It's template, at least as far as I'm concerned. But I thought that was, we know what a template is. At least I would, again, I think she has to do, at least in this situation, do a better job of maybe reading the room of, you do know who you're explaining this to. You're not explaining Photoshop to Bill Belichick. You're explaining Photoshop to people at NFL Films.
They also have like a football conversation when she's like, should the graphics say this? And they're having to talk about the red zone.
She did mention Joe Montana.
Here's more from the leaked audio.
Oh, more?
Yes.
Is it necessary to say keep them out of the end zone? Because I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory on defense. I don't know if there's like an additional point.
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
That applies to all defenses.
Well, yeah, but we just said that the Cowboys' offense is the best offense in the league. They have the most yards per game. So they're going to get the ball down there. Mm-hmm. We know they're going to get the ball down there. Mm-hmm. Preventing touchdowns and forcing the field goals is going to be a key to the game.
Yep.
I mean, we could say it differently.
Is that red zone specific, conceptually?
Well,
should that say red zone instead of end zone?
Well, there's explosive plays involved.
It's okay.
Yeah.
So you guys haven't reviewed these before this moment here?
Not the graphics.
Not the actual graphic itself, no.
These are conversations that, like...
It sounds like...
It sounds awkward.
Why is she part of these conversations?
Exactly. It sounds like to me she is, and I think this is very, very much the... She is running everything, and she's in charge of the entire operation, it seems like. And it's more evident here where... She's trying to make sure everything is good, which is fine, but she has the role of Bill Belichick's partner and girlfriend in this situation, but also she is the muse. She is on the field. She is the creative designer for everything that it's like she can't not have a part in his, like, everything in his life she has to have a part of. And I think it comes across as,
he's allowed it to happen. He's blinded by her. So,
I mean, I'll say sometimes the energy, and this goes back to like just a general large age gap. It kind of sounds like if Alex took like his grandma to the doctor and was trying to explain some things and advocate
exactly,
on her behalf.
Yes.
Like, hey, so does she need to take these pills in the morning or can she just take them before bed? It sounds like
it's worse than that. It's worse than that. It'd be like me at the doctor and telling the doctor, like, well, doc, I saw it on WebMD and it said that actually you should, that's what it sounds like.
While your grandma sits in the corner, you're like, I don't know about these beta blockers, doc. I was thinking maybe we could do the other. Meanwhile, the person, your grandma's a former doctor to go with it too.
She sounds like the person that went to pre-law that thinks they're an attorney already because they're a pre-law and they're not even law school yet. That's what this person, what she sounds like.
Maybe this is the, like what we talked about last segment, and all of my students would love me because I'm overly nice. I'm trying to understand where she's coming from, and I think I do partially that I think she genuinely means well. However, and there's somebody's like this in your life everywhere. They genuinely mean well, but it's just unnecessary. It feels like that's the part of this.
You're trying to have a purpose in this meeting.
She's trying to, you're wanting to expedite the process and get things done where she means well, but it's making it go so much slower than it needs to be.
And again, they canceled the whole, whole documentary. Like. Mm-hmm. And now we're finding out some of this leaked audio. That's what you guys have been listening. This is from the doc that's never going to air, basically, right?
Yes. Boy, I just tell you right now.
It's like the one person who's your friend where it's like, man, we really need to get going. It's like, no, but I got to ask you, I got to say something else. It's
and
like,
you still
no,
don't think this is embarrassing for Belichick?
Okay. Again,
he just said it didn't affect his
from
legacy.
A legacy standpoint, no. Okay. But in terms of just all of it entirely, we are talking more. We've talked more in the last calendar year, really, but less than that even, about him and his girlfriend than anything that they've done.
And Lombardi's apparently missing in Saudi Arabia. It's like they gotta clean house. Yes. This is gonna go down as
tonight. They play tonight. This could be his last game he coaches.
This is gonna go down as Charlie Weiss bad goal.
Did you also?
This is gonna go down like that high. Everyone's like, what the hell? I understand they had success at some point in their lives. What the hell were you thinking? How this decision is gonna go down?
I'm trying to find it. There was a moment where Michael Lombardi. Was he talking about recruiting? Something like that in terms of getting recruiting talent or NIL or something like that. And he referred to it as it's like the NFL. Like we're running this like the NFL. And it's like, excuse me, this is college football. This is not the NFL. If you're running your college football program like the NFL, then you're not going to have very much success. I hate to tell it to you.
Yeah, someone says on the text, why can't she stay in her own lane? What's the long-term gain here? Well,
wants to have a career for herself.
She financially is clearly benefiting. And so there's been a lot of reporting about this. Financially and real estate, she's benefiting from this relationship. He's obviously, what?
Oh, no. I was going to go ahead and finish, and then found it.
I think we all know why he's in the relationship. That's all I was going to say.
In the transfer portal, Michael Lombardi is a part of this, of course. He's the GM. Chandler Morris, who's the quarterback of now ranked Virginia, he wanted to go to North Carolina, but Michael Lombardi told UNT staffers about him. You don't just understand what it takes to play in the National Football League. That's why they didn't recruit him to go to UNT. Mm. This is totally different. You're playing college football. It's not the NFL. If you're recruiting NFL talent, there's not NFL talent in every place in the country, and North Carolina, but for dang sure, is not going to be a place that NFL talent is going to just go to because you're Bill Belichick and Michael Lombardi. Ain't gonna happen.
Converse, I mean, it's just like, if you watch the video, and look, I'm sure everybody knows a graphic designer in their life. We have one in the building. Having to sit through that conversation when somebody's saying,
"You want to create, editable templates that Matt can just plug numbers into."
Well, we'll get somebody else to do it.
We could use Adobe Photoshop.
Is she DeLulu? Is she DeLulu?
No, I think she's a gold digger. I think that's what she is. Yeah. But you know what? They both are okay with the relationship. So why should I care about the relationship? I can comment on it, but if they're both fine, she knows what she's in it for, and he knows what he's in it for, so be it.
It does feel like every single time we talk about this, by the end of us talking about it, we're like, why are we even wasting this much time on it? But it still comes up time and time again.
It's one of the greatest football coaches of all time. It's shocking to see how his career is going down the drain at the very end. And the leaked audio of this woman that is seemingly controlling his life now is somewhat fascinating. That's why.
Do you think Bill Belichick gives her options to pick for dinner, or does she just say what's for
dinner? I don't think there's a lot of girl dinners, if that's what you're saying. Yeah.
Oh, no. I was saying.
We learned yesterday.
Let's go. Cody, that segment is actually incredible because we have now.
Worked it right into the show.
Seamless.
Yeah, yesterday I used Riz a couple of times as well. I feel like it definitely, the Bengals had a lot of Riz last time. I feel like it was very, very productive
Someone
yesterday.
Says play the worst part of when they're talking trash. I don't know if we have that.
Oh, it's at the end. I don't think it's in the system.
I don't think we have that.
Oh, do we not get that part?
It's right at the end, and they're just like.
I don't know if we have
I don't think they realize that they can be heard, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think we have that, guys, unfortunately, ready.
Do we know what was kind of suggested?
They were just talking about some other people who they were doing work with and then just kind of like snickering.
In the NFL, evidently.
Snickering and making fun of them, you know?
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in.
That is the random question of the day.
I'm not sure it won't be the last bit about Jordan. Jordan, I almost said Jennifer Hudson. That's not who that is.
I need to publicly apologize
after that.
Don't lie. Jordan.
Assumption. Jordan Hudson.
Hudson.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Someone says they got to eat dinner at 4:30 so Bill can catch Matt Locke.
That's right. The reruns.
Someone said Bill's losing his oral points. That is true. Boy, oh boy, is that ever true.
Really, it's got to be hard to watch as like a family member. If you're his ex-wife or kid.
Oh, yeah. Or daughter, right? Doesn't he have a daughter?
Yeah.
His son is in the building with him.
Well, yeah. Again, he...
Steve, I think. The defensive coordinator that can't stop anybody.
That's true. All right, up next, it's a Fan Club Friday brought to you by Jay Rieger & Co. We're going to have a couple drinks. Mackenzie Nelson from 41 going to join us. We're also going to hear from Andy Reid and Rashee Rice next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.